Okay. I think we got this. How's it going, everyone? It is preseason week one for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're here at the Where Eagles Dare podcast to talk about it. It's halftime, but, you know, there's not much left to go on. We've seen enough at this point. But it's great because Eagles football is back. And I tell you what, we recently got a little puppy, a little Yorkie to go with my other Yorkshire Terrier. And my wife had to take him upstairs because I was yelling so loud in the beginning of the game because I couldn't help it. I could not help it. Scared the shit out of that little puppy. But it is. Eagles are back. And man, what a freaking phenomenal first half that was if you're an Eagles fan. So with me as always, Dubby, how you feel, man?
Your little Yorkie is obviously not used to because he should be well trained by now to when the Eagles game was on, expect random loud noises the entire game. But nah, man, it was an incredible first half. I mean, it's preseason, and it is the Jets.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, really solid first half. At least we got to see our guys out there. We came out really crisp with the uniforms, the all whites on. They looked really good, man. And it's like they jumped right out to it, man. First drive of the game. I'm gonna just go ahead and get right into
it,
man.
First drive of the game.
You know, you come out, you go, okay, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, let's wait and see. We got A.J. Brown on the team. We know Devontae Smith is out. So, but we go, okay, we got, you see Quez get the start. And then, boom, man, the first drive was really well executed, man. You know, we had a couple deja vu plays with the offensive line and holding. I think I text you that, like, man, we got some deja vu plays. But yeah. From overall, man, that first drive looked really crisp. There were some penalties, but penalties are part of the game. It is what it is. We got that holding call on second and four. And, you know, that kind of pushes us back, even though we get half of that back. But then, you know, we get the penalty on third down. So, you know, it kind of evens out there. And then we get back to that really crisp drive that the Eagles had, man. What you think about the first drive?
I was blown away because how quickly they came out. It seemed like the Eagles had something to prove. Granted, like you said, it's the Jets. You know, it is what it is, but it's an opponent. It's an NFL opponent. And, man, 6 for 6 for 80 yards for Jalen Hurts on that first drive. Come on. Let's give him credit where credit is due. He hits Quez right off the bat. Miles Sanders was rolling around. And then, yeah, like you said, the holding call on Mailata, which was kind of a BS call because I was kind of screaming about that and scared the dog. It was one of those that the guy got around Mailata's edge and he took him to the ground. It's, you know, it is what it is. But if that negated a Jalen Hurts great run for a touchdown, which was amazing, but he comes right back. So technically they scored two touchdowns on that opening drive because he comes right back and hits Goddard. And I'm telling you, man, when we had our whole starting offense out there, and let's just say it was Rager and not Devontae Smith because Devontae Smith was not suited up tonight. Rager's out there with Pascal and Goddard and AJ. And man, it was just quick. Bam. Touchdown.
Yeah, man. That whole first drive had a nice little vibe to it. They didn't really run the ball. I think they had one run, but I don't think they had one run.
I know, it's crazy.
Dump offs. But I think the Johnson call, the first penalty of the game was on Johnson.
Right.
When I looked at his age, too, just something random. I looked at his age, I was like, man, he's 32. You know, we have him for a little bit. That's not that bad considering he looks way more healthy than Kelce does at 32.
Right.
Maybe playing that center position is a little more stressful. But anyway, what can you say? You know, it was the best thing about that first drive?
What's that?
That A.J. Brown didn't even have a reception.
No.
And that just shows you, you know, that the Eagles are just that Jalen Hurts just worked the offense that drive. What was open that drive? He could have easily came out and forced the ball to A.J. Brown. But the fact that so much buildup with this big-time trade, everybody in that stadium is looking for this first A.J. Brown catch. You're in Philadelphia. Everybody wants an A.J. Brown catch. For Hurts to have the maturity to just run the offense and hit the person that was open, nice quick pass to Goddard, you know, getting those short yardages, nice screen plays, nice dump off to Sanders. You know, in that first dump off or the screen pass to Sanders, man, if Sanders follows where Juergens is up a little more versus going to the left where a couple of our guys, you know, the defense was, if he cuts up, even that's a bigger play. Yeah. Than what it is. So, but it's preseason. It's where you work out that rust, that man. But yeah, man, I thought the throws were really decisive. But AJ Brown not getting a catch, period, in this entire preseason just shows you, like, you know, maybe you know, Hurts is going through this offense a little bit quicker. Maybe he is, because even when Minshew, I don't want to get too much ahead of you, but Minshew comes in, you notice Minshew, first thing he does, he throws an identical pass as Hurts, right to Goddard. It's like a little 8-yard comeback. Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell this is two guys in the same system in year two, and they just understand now, where, you know, in year two, where the plays are, where those open passes are. You love how A.J. Brown runs those 2-3 guys into the end zone, and Goddard just drops it off, and the throw is there early.
Yeah.
The throw is early.
Yeah.
Goddard, that ball's in the air before Goddard's even coming out of his break.
Hell yeah.
Some of the things that I noticed on that first drive that I was like, that's good. That means you are seeing the offense, but – you know, our hometown broadcasters really made the point in saying, you know, this is the first time Jalen Hurts has ever been in a consecutive offense since high school.
Yeah.
You know, so I would have still liked to see some runs. I don't want to see Sirianni still so lopsided. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the offense. So I still wanted to see some runs mixed in there. But overall, man, really crisp drive. I mean, what can you say about 6 for 6, 80 yards and a touchdown?
Exactly. And now what's crazy, though, is we didn't see a lot of Miles Sanders runs, but we saw a damn lot of Jason Huntley runs. Holy shit. Man, that guy went off in the second quarter when he got his chance. He got his opportunity. So, yeah, we didn't get it from Miles, but we got it from Huntley. And I was sitting there for the whole second quarter. So I'm already fired up. I mean, you got the touchdown, which is just absolutely 6 for 6. Like you said, we had a whole false start, and then you had, like we talked about, and then you had the holding penalty on Mailata that led to the Goddard touchdown. But the cool thing was, like you said, Quez caught like 2 passes on that. Miles caught one. Stoll caught a freaking pass. And it was just a brilliant thing. And then we come back, Jets get the ball, and Kazir White, one of our acquisitions in the offseason, bam, interception. It couldn't have gone any better. I mean, and I want to draw back just a quick second, because I've been a fan of the Eagles since I was 9 years old, and I've watched a lot of Eagles preseason. And it seems like the norm. So we're talking about, okay, it's only preseason, and it's only the Jets. I've watched a lot of preseason games, and they tend to go the same way. It's like that first drive is like, yeah, whatever, 3 and out, 6 and out, whatever. And then, you know, we kind of do this and we do that. Very rarely have I watched an Eagles preseason game where it's 6 for 6, 80 yards, and a touchdown right off the bat against first team. Usually it's like they're trying, you know, we've done this as Eagles fans. Oh, they're trying to find their way. You know, it's okay. They're working on stuff. We've done this. How many first game preseason fan, you know, that we've watched, have we just been like, okay, whatever. This, I've never been as excited. Right. At a preseason game.
Right.
Never. This was amazing.
That was part of the reason why I was like, you know, might as well jump on at halftime, because, you know, we understand there's going to be some second half and probably they'll play Senate, in the second half and he'll get some reps. But even going to Huntley, But before I even get to Huntley, I'm going to go back to Quez, because Quez started the game and he gets the first catch of the game, and I go, Remember I told you on the low a little bit, I said, hey, man, don't be surprised. See, I'm not one of those guys that pay attention to draft picks. If you're paying attention to all draft picks, then Jalen Hurts is the only second-round draft pick, I believe, in our league right now with Wentz, Jones, and Dak wasn't first round. I don't think Dak
was
first
fourth. Round. He was fourth.
Dak is a starter. But yeah, as far as like starter, everybody
fourth
in,
round. Yeah.
And you're going against, who was Zach Wilson, number two pick in the second year?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Really bad today, by the way. Anyway, we're talking about the Birds. I'm just saying, this guy is the second pick ball.
Yeah.
And he's more known for shagging MILFs than anything else. This is what he is known for right now. He is the ultimate player of the NFL right now.
Gotta give him credit.
Dating his mom's best friends. I mean, this guy is an ultimate legend in everything but football. But even with the I mean, you have to almost pull Hurts out right after 6-for-6. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and sit him down. He's sizzling. But then, you know, Minshew comes in, and what I liked with having Minshew as the backup was that Quez was still in getting reps. He played the whole first half, and Pascal was still in. And you had Rodgers. He was in with quality.
Yeah.
He was in Huntley. You mentioned Huntley running the ball well.
Oh, yeah.
But even if you look at the line, you go on one side, you have Dillard, you have Opeta as well, too. And I go, well, man, he's still out there with, like, some seasoned guys. Like, he's not just out there with some scrubs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And even before we get to the scrubs of the second string, I thought Cam Jurgens also played well. I know the videos out there of him getting just –
yeah, pancake by Jordan by Davis.
But who I'm not going to talk trash, because Cam Jurgens is 300 pounds and he was still being moved like that by Jordan Davis. So I'm not going to act like I could have blocked him any better. So much as, and even Jordan Davis was even like, look, I know you guys are hyped up about that, but nah, man, you know, you don't see the good plays when he blocks me very well.
Right.
So it shows the maturity of Jordan Davis. It shows the camaraderie very early in the team. You know, even with White getting that pick and everybody celebrating, and then you got the second team coming right in, Minshew coming right down. They go for it on fourth down. Everybody's celebrating. The first thing I thought is like, man, that's a good Eagles locker room right now.
Yeah.
That's a good Eagles locker room right now. N'Kobe Dean coming up, making a tackle for loss early.
Yeah.
I didn't just see everybody celebrate, because I was picking on Fletcher Cox a little bit. I said, I bet you if Jordan Davis wasn't drafted, he wouldn't even start today. He would probably play games 2 and 3. But he's like, no. No. He's not about to get first team reps on me. I have to hold down my spot. But you know what I'm saying? From a veteran standpoint, if anybody but Jordan Davis walks through that door, you know, in the offseason, we probably don't even see Fletcher Cox today, because he's too valuable.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Games 2 and 3. Anyway, that's just a little jokey joke. You know, I was just like, man, Jordan Davis is in N'Kobe Dean. I felt like when TJ Edwards came up and made that hit, I just feel like it's because you have that locker room tingling. You have this youngster, N'Kobe Dean. You know he wants anybody's spot in that linebacker area. Hassan Reddick, Kaiser White, and TJ Edwards. You know, if you mess up a little bit, they're going to put Dean in. And I think that's good, man. It's good competition out there for the Eagles, man. It's good competition out there for the Eagles. Wide receiver locker room. Sorry to get a little long with it.
Oh, I don't care.
First time this season, bro. I just seen him walk out.
I know.
With the Eagles helmet with the all whites. They look so crispy. Oh. So crispy.
I wish I would have worn my whites tonight, but I didn't. I wore my Dawkins. But it's like, you're exactly right. It just has a different feel about it. And I don't want to get too excited. I really don't. But I'm just saying, like I said before, is that we've not seen a preseason like this where they come out and just dominate the first quarter like they did with the starters. And then you talked about Dean and Davis. That friggin' the pancake in the second quarter where Davis just plows through the middle – and then the running back has nowhere to go, and Dean is sitting right there. That's some stuff we're going to see a lot this year, whereas Davis will part the seas, and Dean will clean that crap up in the middle where we're dealing with those running backs, and that was so good to see. And you mentioned it. I mean, our linebacking core, we've always talked about this, even before we started doing this podcast, about how the Eagles linebackers, outside of when we had Michael Kendricks and Jordan Hicks, how weak they could be at times compared to the mid-2000s and, you know, that kind of era. This now with Hassan Reddick, like you said, Kazir White, N'Kobe Dean, and TJ Edwards, this is a dominant linebacking core. The only question is the corners, but, I mean, they played great tonight. I mean, Yeah, it's preseason. It is. It is preseason. And I'm not going to oversell it.
It's preseason. But Kassir White, you know, took the pressure off of all the first teamers.
Yeah.
Because he made, man, and shout out to Jason Gannon. If we're going to kick him when he's down, we got to put him when he's up. Obviously, that was the right play call, right? To put White in that bubble. Out there to put Kazir White in the bubble out there to be able to get that play. And it's also a good read. You can see him just read Wilson's eyes the whole way.
Yeah.
Picks it off and just gives the second unit a really short field, man. You know, a little random note, man. You know, I was harping on the Eagles special teams last year when it comes to Rager.
Right.
And then you got Covey out there. You know, he had a nice, even his first punt return was better than anything Rager's probably did all last year. I do see his last little punt return. I'm still watching the game now.
Yeah,
his last punt return, he took a bad one. He caught the ball at the five and tried to do something special. So I appreciate his confidence and his ability, but when the ball's at the 5-yard line, bro, just wave your hand or just run, act like you caught it so we can maybe get the touch back there. So it shows a little rookie inning, but you know, my players to watch this year, man, Squares Watkins and Covey. I know it's such a, you know, the rest of the guys easy to talk about. That's easy. I'm talking about like the sleepers, the dark horses that can have a true impact on the Eagles this year, man. And I think our return game, I think it was really slept on last year that Hurts got zero field position last year because he had zero return game. Zero. You know, I think that was just underrated. It's just the small things because, you know, I always say, man,
football is complimentary.
He's got the soundboard working. I love it, dude. Let's hear
because it is. Because it is, man. It is, man. That's the reason why you can have an MVP and Aaron Rodgers go to the playoffs and not scored offensive. How do you justify that?
Yeah.
With the best receiver in the league.
Yeah.
So you can have all these best, but how is your chemistry overall with your team? And I thought the chemistry overall with the Eagles team tonight, even Sirianni saying, you know, what he said to the Jets sideline was still that fireness.
Oh, yeah.
That lady on Jalen Hurts was uncalled for, bro. It was preseason. Yeah. You don't hit our number one quarterback like that. If you want to hit the fourth string, cool. And that's still not cool, but it's preseason. That's never going to be accepted.
No,
as a professional.
Yeah,
even your own teammates is going to be like. But you didn't have to do that.
Yeah,
he was already out of bounds. Clearly,
exactly. Hold that up against any of the top tier quarterbacks in the league, Brady and Rodgers, and somebody lays that crap out on them. That would be, it'd be front page news and you know, cheap shot by the Jets against Brady, but because it's Hurts, you know, he ends up, I mean, he's clearly out of bounds. He ran out of bounds. He gets plastered. Now, granted, it helped us get a touchdown, but it's like, wow, dude, the thing for me is I think that what I love about it, and I was talking about a friend of mine with a friend of mine tonight, who was a Cowboys fan, ironically. And I said, I think Jalen is going to be one of those guys that he's going to back up, he's going to see his reads, and then if he takes off and runs, you better watch out because those DBs are going to be back deep. And these linebackers are going to come up and try to knock him out. So we're going to see that a lot. where Jalen's going to get a 10-yard run and somebody's going to come out and try to lay him out. And the main reason is because we got AJ, we got Devontae, we got Zach Pascal, we got Zach Ertz. So those DBs are going to be dropping. And they have no choice. I love it. I just absolutely love it. I hope, upon all hopes, that the Eagles keep their team healthy, offensive line and everyone, just so that they can run through this. Because right now what we're looking at is a thing of beauty. Defensively, I mean, yeah, like you said, Jonathan Gannon, we got a lot to look at. It's hard to say. The Jets moved a little bit, but again, it's preseason, so they moved the ball down the field. They got a field goal. They had a couple of decent drives, but nothing to write home about. So it's like with Gannon, I'm always going to worry about the deep pass. I'm always going to worry about that zone, but I'm feeling really good at this point right now.
You know, I don't even know if it was Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Or the scheme, but the scheme was right for the whole first half, man. I thought guys were in the position to make plays, and that's what Gannon didn't do last year. Guys just feel like they weren't even in the position to make the play.
Yeah.
7-10 yards off the ball. I remember you texting me all last year. Why are they so far back? You know, it's just, you know, nothing really made sense, man. And, you know, this is a little live update. You know, it's something very interesting because we talk about the quarterback room. I see Sennett out there right now. He has a pretty bad three and out right now watching the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we have Carson Strong, who they jumped out the window a little bit, paid him more than any undrafted free agent, yeah, guaranteed money, like ever, in like franchise history or the NFL. So I wonder if Sennett doesn't look good, man. I wonder if Carson Strong is going to beat him out. You know, we're not carrying four quarterbacks.
No. I'll say
just something random, but just because I'm watching the game right now and I'm like, man, Sennett didn't really sharpen that first.
I'm watching it from an angle, but I can't because my TV is not at the quite angle where I can see it. But on your thing about Carson Strong is like, yeah, out in Nevada, very highly acclaimed quarterback. Now, is he going to be hell no, he's not going to be our starter. But yeah, we could use him in that depth chart, especially if Sennett's our guy. I will say that about this. I loved what Minshew did with the time that he had. However, he overthrew some passes. He was very tentative. So the plus side is I want Minshew to feel like he's a solid number two, and I want him to feel like he's a part of the team, but I don't want him to feel like he is the number one. I don't want him to do like he did last year where he brought his dad in and they hugged each other when he had one good start and all that shit against the Jets last year. I want him to be a part of the team and be a solid backup, because if anything does happen to Hurts, we need somebody who can at least manage the game. But what I saw tonight, what I saw from Hurts and what I saw from Minshew, I want Hurts in there as QB1 right now, without a doubt. But I don't want Minshew. I think that, you know, this is a game of attrition. People get hurt all the time. You got to have the backup. So if Sanders goes down, we got to have Huntley. If Hurts, God forbid, goes down, we got to have somebody that can step in and get the ball to Brown and Smith and at least keep us afloat until our QB1 gets back. So yeah, I thought it was good that watching the team on the sidelines supporting Minshew when he made good plays, I was like, okay, that's pretty good. It makes me feel good, because it is about team chemistry and about being one team, one fight.
Right. Here's what I found interesting, even from Minshew's standpoint. I mean, Quez Watkins, it did drop a key third down. They probably could have put some more. They would have put some more points on the board.
Yeah.
But I thought they still played super conservative to have the backup quarterback in.
Right.
You know, I thought that was a good time to, you know, if this is a perceived starting quarterback, then this is a time to run some nice plays. And I thought they just super conservative, just Cam Huntley runs, drop offs, you know, 5 yards out, you know, a couple screens, you know, or some dump offs to the running back, but nothing really. Like, you know, that's going to blow your socks off. If you're a second team guy, you want to be the starter, and you want, you know, you this could be an audition for you to go somewhere else. And I felt like he still just played like some guy that, you know, not even can carry us through a full season if Hurts gets hurt. But, you know, maybe a guy that could just fill in for a few plays, man, you know, because even his first downs was rollouts, you know, rollouts kind of gunslinger. Even the one, the Quez, was still kind of that gunslinger type of mentality where he got the ball out there. He's just very small, man.
Yeah.
He's just very small. So I would like to really see what Carson Strong has. If we're going to pay him $300,000 plus guaranteed money, let's bring him on before Senate. Or maybe Carson Strong isn't having a good camp. Now, is this a quarterback that has to have his knee drained just as much as this is not even like a jokey. You know, this is more of a reference. Nah, because, you know, Kelsey has to have his elbow drained.
Right.
Strong's knee is basically the same thing a few times a year. That's been one of the things that kept him undrafted. If you watch his tape from Nevada, he's very sharp. He knows where to go with the ball, but he doesn't have that cannon of an arm to really get it there. And, you know, it's kind of like his name is Strong. And, you know, some Eagles podcasters out there say he has a strong. I'm like, no, he doesn't. Right. And it's kind of like Gardner Minshew. He's just taller. You know, he just needs his knee drained all the time. And it's just like, that's not Eagles' future. If you needed your knee drained in college, bro, man, I don't really see a 15-year career coming about you. And I think that's what every Eagles fan is waiting for right now. We're looking for our next quarterback that we can have for a little while, man. You know, Eagles don't do short term. You know, if you look at any of our quarterbacks, you look at you go Randall Cunningham, you go Rodney Pete, you had the Detmer days, but you had McNabb, which is the real bulk of like my life, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Rodney Pete and Donovan McNabb have been like the bulk of my life. We had the Vic years, you know what I'm saying? That was some good years still. You know, I still remember that Washington Monday night game.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Sean Jackson off to come out, you know. Then when we drafted Carson Wentz, we thought we was getting our next 10 to 15-year guy. So Jalen Hurts wasn't a part of this 10 to 15 year plan. I believe when they picked him up, I thought that he could be a good scheme. I thought they saw him as a good talent in the second round. That when they needed a change up in scheme, they could bring him on where Carson may have struggled at times. That's what I saw him when they picked him up. And then all of a sudden, Wentz just has the worst year ever.
Yeah,
and you have that Saints game where it was so ripe for Jalen to come in. Mm-hmm. You got the number one defense in the league, right, against this first-time starter. And he just does, you know, the same thing that got him drafted in the second round. He just does things that are, like, super electric. You know what I'm saying? And that's why people just keep holding on, because people want to really see what Jalen Hurts' ceiling is. And I think a lot of people know that he hasn't reached his ceiling. But they also know that this is his basically contract year with the Eagles. It's kind of a, you know, should have get off the pot type year with the Eagles. And I just think they gave him a lot of talent around me, man, to really excel this year. So I don't think that first series was an anomaly. I think we can see that a lot this year from Jalen. And yeah, man, you know. Just happy to see my birds, man. I'm on my soliloquies today. I'm just
going out, man.
But yeah, man, what you think overall about the Eagles this year? Like, what's your overall after seeing one half of the birds? You know, how do you feel about them overall?
Well, you know, we talked about it during the preseason stuff. We looked at the schedule, and we talked about Jalen last year. It's about progression, and I definitely saw what you saw tonight. I like Minshew. Can run an offense. There's no doubt about that. He can run an offense, but he overthrew running backs out of the backfield. He overthrew wide open wide receivers, which is something that Wentz started to do after that 2017 season. What I saw from Hurts in the first drive was decisiveness. I saw maturity. I saw something that I have not seen from this guy as much. I've seen it last year. I saw flashes of brilliance. But man, I saw command of an offense tonight that really excited me. Not since the early days of Cunningham, not since the early days of McNabb, where confidence was shining through. So with that being said, with everything else that the Eagles have on the offensive side of the ball, what's considered to be the third best line in the NFL, one of the better tight ends in the NFL, granted, not, you know, around the top 10, Goddard. But you can't overlook that we've got Brown, Devontae Smith, and Pascal at three wide receivers. You got Sanders coming out of the backfield. This is a reason to be excited. Are we going to take the brass ring again this year from Tuesday? I don't know. But I know this. I know this deep in my heart after watching just a half of preseason football. I know that the Eagles will be contenders this year. There's no doubt in my mind that each and every week they will be fighting to win games and take the NFC East. There's no doubt. No doubt. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You see Huntley definitely wants to make the team. He ran a kickoff back to the 38. He carries the load the entire first half.
Unbelievable.
And after the Jets score, he runs the kickoff back to the 38-yard line. Man, this guy's still out there working for his job. So we can definitely
– Hell yeah.
We're definitely going to see Huntley on the squad, I believe, coming up this year.
I agree. Another one, like I said, we talked a little bit about him in the first half. I think I texted you a couple of times. Was Cam Jurgens in the Kelce role. Holy crap, dude. The guy was pulling like no one else. And this is not a big... He's like Kelce. He's about the same size. What a Kelce clone. This is exactly who we needed. Knowing that Kelce is on his way. This is going to be his last year.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I watched two or three times where Cam Jurgens just dominated, pulling the line and opening up holes for Huntley. It's something... It's a thing of beauty. I think that... The only thing that can derail this season is a spate of injuries, and God forbid that won't happen. I think that it's going to be a good one.
Special shout out to Trent Cole and Hugh Douglas. They're down Eagles Hall of Famers, the new 2022 draft inductees, and I'm sure we'll have something a graphic for you guys in the next pod. Representing that. But I see John Runyon sitting here talking now. He got inducted. He's an Eagles Hall of Famer as of last year. Now Trent Cole and Hugh Douglas are Eagles Hall of Famers. Man, much, much deserved. You know, those guys are seared into my memory when it comes to the Eagles. I mean, Trent Cole, I can just see him now. I mean, his face just immediately pops in with the earring.
Oh, of course.
With the big old smile on the sideline, and same thing with Hugh Douglas, man. Just really good leaders for those Eagles, man. To be Eagles Hall of Famer, I'm going to put it to you like this. Y'all may be out there in other leagues, I mean, other cities, but to be an Eagles Hall of Famer in itself, you know, to be a legend in that city, man, to some people, that's just as good as being in the Hall of Fame because of the love and the commitment that the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding areas like Camden, New Jersey, where I'm from, we really support a lot of these guys, man. So, you know, to be an Eagles Hall of Famer, man, you good at least in the tri-state area, Pennsylvania and Jersey and Delaware. And hey, that's saying something still, man. So I got to try to go Hugh Douglas on their induction to be Eagles Hall of Famers.
That's a huge accomplishment. I still have a 58 Trent Cole jersey in my closet that I wear on a regular basis. And what do John Runyon and Hugh Douglas have in common? They have both met Lee and Tubby at the Hall of Fame game back in 2018 after the Eagles won. We met both those suckers. That was a great night.
Dang, we did. Yeah, we do have the picture with John Runyon.
And Hugh Douglas.
Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. Trey Thomas.
A bunch of guys, man. You know, not Eagles related, but I was watching Colin Cowherd the other day, and they mentioned they had the Chargers running back on there. What's his name? The Chargers running back, number 30.
Current. Oh, current running back is what you're talking about.
Running back for the Chargers.
Current. Like, no.
Sure, right. For sure. Yeah, not like Damian Thomas. Anyway, the short guy, number 30. I can't believe I can't remember his name off the
top. You're talking about Eckler?
Say that again?
You're talking about Eckler?
Eckler.
Yeah, Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler. So he has Austin Eckler on the show. And I didn't even know that Austin Eckler tied Jonathan Taylor last year in touchdowns. Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't.
I didn't know that. And what Colin Cowherd mentioned to him, he was like, you one of the original guys you got out of bounds a lot last year. And then he mentioned, you know, Franco Harris was one of the first running backs to really start getting out of bounds. And I remember like, damn, that's why Franco Harris is able to do the love train at the Hall of Fame game and lead an entire crowd and still have the wherewithal that he had. I still have my Franco Harris picture today. He's about to get in his car. I said, hey, Franco, hey, man, can I get a picture with you? Sure thing, man. I could just remember how high his spirit was and how good his energy was. He turned right around, boom, got the picture.
Yeah.
I still got the picture, man, with Franco Harris. And, you know, a lot of these guys, when they get to that age that played in that era, can't go into a Hall of Fame festival with that band. That band was hilarious,
too. Oh, yeah. That band was great. That was a great weekend. What was funny, the funniest thing is you do speak truth, because I love Jim Brown, but Jim Brown's, you know, hobbling on a cane, and I was the third person in that train behind Franco Harris, because he came to our table and he was like, we're doing the train, let's go. And I was like, all right. I actually put it on my phone. I actually had it on Facebook Live. I'm like, I'm freaking doing the freaking train behind Franco Harris. It was good stuff, man. Yeah, it's good stuff.
A couple other Hall of Famers, man. It was just, man, you know, some guys I didn't know they were from the set, like the Dolphins. I think like Larry Little was there.
Yeah.
From the Dolphins 72 team. I mean, this guy's a legend. Can you imagine him in the 70s? You know, people would have been, you know, falling over, you know, to get to this guy. You know, Franco Harris, his spirit, his energy, and he was also one of the first guys that weren't taking that little last hit going out of bounds. He was just going out of bounds.
Yeah.
And you can see he's still living his very good Hall of Fame life to this day. And, you know, really personable, really good person to meet, man. He's probably one of the most bubbliest Hall of Famers I met down there that weekend. We saw a lot of Hall of Famers. Oh, we did.
You can't even.
We saw all of them, technically.
Yeah, it was.
We're at every event. We had the platinum passes. Don't make me go get the platinum pass. I will get it.
I was talking to a couple of friends. We had
the platinum pass. Brian Dawkins got inducted that year. For those that don't know what we're talking about, it was, in my opinion, the greatest year.
Yeah.
It was. T.O. wasn't there. I wish he was. If I'd have had the T.O. signature, it would have been amazing. Yeah. But we had Randy Moss.
Yes.
Ray Lewis. Brian Urlacher. What's the guy from, even though he wasn't a player, but from Washington.
Oh, it wasn't Washington. It was San Diego, wasn't it? It was, oh damn! You're messing with me. I can't remember.
Too much. But just going down the line. Urlacher.
Yes.
Randy Moss.
Those were the big names. Yeah. It was Urlacher, Moss,
Brian Dawkins in the same line. We had I tell you what, man. The best speech came from the Packers guy. That was one of the best speeches. I mean, Dawkins hit me in the heart when he talked about the insurance money. And some of the sacrifices he was going to make to protect his family, some of the troubles he was going through mentally, man, that was one of the most touching speeches, man. And you can hear the Eagles fans there that day. I'm just being real random because it's a preseason game. We just off the cuff tonight. We just chatting tonight. And man, it's just a lot of Eagles memories.
Right. So I'm with you. I'm listening. But I got the helmet right here.
That's the helmet.
So this is, we got Ray Lewis on here.
Do your helmet. You could put his full screen if you like as well.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can do that real quick. Hold on, Russ. Boom. All right, so yeah, so I got on here, I got Ray Lewis 52, I got Bob Greasy, Dawkins 20, Holy smack. I can't even read half of these. Let's see. We've got Brian Urlacher right here. Jerry Kramer from the Packers, as well as Tony Dungy, Dan Fouts. Bobby Beathard was another one. Bobby Beathard was the guy from San Diego that we met, and he was so freaking cool. And then the guy from the Oilers, Robert Boying, right here.
Oh, that's right. He was there. That's how. Yeah, that's amazing. How crazy that class was.
It was an unbelievable class. And
Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, and Brian Dawkins are the first people you walk into.
Yeah,
I mean. Look, man, I'm not. Imagine if T.O. was there.
Yeah.
Imagine, mind you, folks, Terrell Owens was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
That was the greatest Hall of Fame class, man, to witness in this era, because let me just think about it.
Yeah, it was amazing. Ray
Lewis alone, he's considered the greatest linebacker of all time, Ray Lewis. He's up there, Mike Singletary. Lawrence Taylor. I'm sorry. He's Carl Banks. He's right up there with all those guys. Ray Lewis and Randy Moss. Brian Dawkins.
I know. One of the best things I ever did was to buy this helmet and just start having him sign it as I went around. I got Chris Dolman on here. Rest in peace. He passed away. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So yeah. you can't put a price on this. With what it's got as far as Hall of Famers. And, yeah, we had a great time being able to get a chance to do that, because we didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, but we said, hey, you know, the Eagles got Dawkins going into the Hall of Fame. Let's do this. And we did it, and it was worth it. It was worth every penny we paid. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and you got to talk to him sometime soon. He's from Camden, but he's a freaking Cowboys fan. And I'm like, dude. That's
not unusual.
I was like, how does that happen? He's like, I was born in the 70s, and that's what I was raised to be. And I'm like, that's just not right.
That's not unusual. I grew up with a lot of Cowboys fans and 49ers fans. I just had to take a breath because I was going to say something.
No, it's not right.
This podcast is sponsored by Don Julio.
I've been drinking Johnny Walker until I went to Bud Light. I'll just say
where I was coming from was from Don Julio spirit, but down Don Julio, down. Nah, man. So yeah, you see a lot of guys out there, man, that are misinformed. But they're misinformed. Misinformed people. Okay, so their children are probably Cowboys fans and Niners fans, and you know, my best friend, man, shout out to my boy Stanley, man, fresh on my day one since sixth grade, man, he's a Cowboys fan, man. I never understood it, but it is what it is, man. You know, everybody can't be right. Everybody can't walk this righteous path as an Eagles fan. Everybody can't do it. And only the strong. Only the strong. That's why 2017 was for the strong when the Eagles won that Super Bowl.
You know, and we've got a Super Bowl more recent than the mid-90s, and I'm very thankful for that. And I tell you what, I ain't promising that we're going to have one this year, but it's going to be damn close. It is. I think this team can contend. I have no doubt in my mind. We'll see how the other two preseason games go. And with that being said, you know, we'll be here. We got Cleveland coming up just around the corner. And then Miami. And then we hit the regular season. And yeah, your boys will be there at the regular season opener. At least I will. I don't know about Tubby. He said he's going to try.
It's tough, man.
I will be there. I have tickets. I have two tickets. So if Tubby can't go, we'll have a raffle.
That'll be epic, bro. If somebody shows up for the game, that'd be absolutely epic. Right? We don't want you in Detroit with an ID ticket sign.
We don't want you out there like that, man.
No.
But I will be there. And it's going to be epic. We've got a good schedule. We've got a good team. So let's just keep the positive vibes going, Eagles fans. This is going to be a fun year. No matter how you slice it, it's going to be a lot of fun. So Tubby and I will be here each and every week. We are going to do this again just after the next preseason game. So join us here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can on our Gmail. It is lee.bird, that is B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. You can always follow us on YouTube at the Where Eagles Dare podcast, as well as Twitch and Facebook Live. So many places to check us out and enjoy this type of content each and every week. Look for us on TikTok as well. And with that all being said, we're kind of deep in the third quarter of this preseason game, so I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words.
Appreciate y'all stopping by as usual. Like Lee said, man, look for us more often. You guys are going to see a lot of crazy content from us this year. You're not going to just see us once or twice a week, man. Just be prepared to see a clip from us or two, man, maybe every other day. Maybe every other day. But with that said, man, preseason game, get back to watching this end of the third quarter and a little bit of the fourth, man. And man, as always, man, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. You guys have a great week. Until next time, let's do this. 2022, baby. Yeah.